Okay, let's unpack this. We are diving deep today into something really foundational for learning to read. We're talking about those sound-based skills kids need, like before they even get to letters and sounds.
Exactly.
And our guide for this is it's this great resource from Ms. Joy. She's a certified structured literacy dyslexia specialist. It's aimed right at parents, caregivers, anyone wanting to get a handle on these early steps.
Yeah, it's very practical.
So our mission, basically, to dig into this guide, figure out what phonological and phonemic awareness actually are, and importantly, pull out those practical ways the source mentions to spot these skills, or lack thereof, and how to strengthen them, giving you tools, really, to help build that solid reading base.
And what's really interesting, I think, is how much the guide stresses why focusing on these sounds first is so critical.
Yeah.
It really builds the case that understanding the sound structure of words you hear is step one. Before phonics, before anything else.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
You have to hear it before you can connect it to a symbol, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's start where the guide does. Phonological awareness, the big umbrella term. What is it, according to the source?
Well, the guide defines it as being able to hear and sort of work with the different sound parts in spoken words.
So things like syllables. Yeah. Rhymes.
Exactly. Syllables, rhymes, and also those individual sounds. It's the whole soundscape of a word.
And the guide mentions if a child struggles here.
Yeah, it links that struggle to potentially having what it calls a phonological processing difficulty. It's like an early flag, something to pay attention to.
Got it. Okay, so that's the broad view. Then the guide zooms in, right? On phonemic awareness.
Precisely. It says phonemic awareness is a more specific skill within that phonological awareness umbrella.
More specific how?
It focuses just on recognizing and, crucially, manipulating the individual sounds, the phonemes and words, the smallest units of sound.
Okay. Like the example they give.
Yes, exactly. The guide uses the example of hearing the separate sounds, MOP, and then being able to blend them together smoothly to say the word mop. That act itself is phonemic awareness practice.
MOP, mop.
Oh, okay. And here's a key point the guide makes. This phonemic awareness skill, it's the absolute foundation for phonics instruction.
Right. You need it to make sense of connecting letters to sounds later.
Totally. The guide is pretty clear. Without a good handle on phonemic awareness, learning to read gets much, much harder. And if you see a child struggling with it, well, the guide says they'll need specific help to build up that skill.
That connection is vital. Sounds before symbols. Okay, so if a child is having trouble with these sound skills, what does that actually look like day to day? Mrs. Joy's guide lays out 6 specific ways these difficulties might show up. Let's walk through them.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right, the first one the guide mentions is this idea of manipulating sounds in your head. They call it crack the code. What does that involve?
Yeah, this is about the mental juggling of sounds. The guide says it's when kids struggle with tasks where you have to, like, remove a sound or swap sounds or change a sound within a word, all just by listening.
Okay, that sounds tricky.
It can be really overwhelming for some kids, according to the source. It gives some really concrete examples.
Like what?
Okay, so imagine asking a child, take the word stitch. Now say it without the itch part.
Yeah.
Can they isolate the ST?
Mm.
Okay. Or here's the word map. Change the first sound, the M, to an L. What's the new word? They need to mentally make that swap to get lap.
Right. You have to hold the sounds in your head.
Exactly. Other examples from the guide are changing middle sounds, like rag. Change the A to U. What do you get? Rug. Or swapping the N sound hit. Change the T to P. Now it's hip. The guide really emphasizes that these sound manipulations are a big hurdle if there's an underlying processing issue.
Yeah, I can see how that requires real mental flexibility with sounds. Okay, what's the next sign? The guide calls it sound smart, about trouble hearing similar sounds.
Right. This isn't about hearing acuity, like needing a hearing aid. It's about the brain distinguishing between sounds that are really close.
Ah, subtle differences.
Yes. The guide gives examples like, maybe a child confuses thin and fin, the versus F sound.
Okay.
Or they might mix up short vowel sounds, like hearing pit when someone says pet, or hearing cop instead of cup, those subtle vowel shifts.
And the guide says this affects more than just reading.
Yeah, it points out that this difficulty can impact not just reading and spelling, but also understanding spoken language, like following directions or understanding conversations, because they might be mishearing key sounds.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, number 3 in the guide, the reading rhythm. This is about rhyming challenges. Rhyming feels like such an early basic skill.
It is. And the guide agrees it's often one of the first signs of phonological awareness developing. But it points out that some kids really do struggle to hear if words rhyme or to come up with rhyming words themselves.
So they might not catch that Cat and Hat rhyme.
Exactly. Or the guide gives examples like if you ask for words that rhyme with moon, they might struggle to think of spoon or tune. Or for hill, they might not easily come up with will or still.
And the guide specifically notes that rhyming can be especially tough for kids who have dyslexia or other sound processing difficulties. It's a common area of weakness.
Interesting. Okay, moving on from rhymes. Point four is chunk it up. This is about breaking words into syllables.
Yes, exactly. Taking a longer word and hearing the distinct beats or chunks the syllables. The guide explains that kids who struggle here might do a few things.
Like what?
They might leave syllables out. The guide uses banana instead of saying banana. They might just say nana, dropping that first syllable.
Okay.
Or with a really long word like hippopotamus, they might shorten it, maybe saying hippotamus, accidentally leaving out a whole chunk.
Or mix them up.
Yeah, or sometimes add extra ones or get the order jumbled. Basically, they have trouble accurately breaking the word down into its syllable parts.
That seems like it would definitely make spelling harder later on.
Okay,
fifth sign from the guide. This one feels related, but maybe the opposite. Little sounds, big words, which is about blending sounds together.
Right. Blending is crucial. It's taking those individual sounds, whether you hear them spoken or later see them as letters, and smoothly combining them to make the word.
And the guide says weakness here shows up how?
Well, the source gives a few examples. A child might hear the sounds F-R-O-G, but then say fog. They drop the R sound in the blend.
Okay, omitting a sound.
Or they might use the wrong vowel sound when blending. They hear P-E-M, but say pin, mixing up those short vowels again.
Uh-huh.
Another example the guide uses is getting the sound order mixed up. Maybe they hear the sounds for girl, G-I-R-L, but they blend them as grill.
Oh, interesting.
And the guide really stresses this, that ability to blend sounds is absolutely essential for sounding out words when you start reading. It's non-negotiable, really.
Makes sense. Okay, last one. The sixth sign the guide mentions is, oops, did I say that? Mixing up words that sound alike.
Yeah, this is about saying a word that sounds similar to the one they actually mean, even if they know the right word and what it means.
So like slips of the tongue, but maybe more frequent or patterned?
Kind of. The guide gives examples like saying frustrated instead of frustrated.
Okay, I had to hear that.
Or maybe saying angel when they mean angle. Or mixing up words that sound quite similar but are different, like now and one.
And the guide has an interesting point about why this happens.
Yes, it makes a crucial distinction. It suggests this isn't necessarily about memory, like forgetting the word. It's often more about how the child's brain is, you know, organizing and processing those sounds internally. That internal sound map might be a bit jumbled, leading to these mix-ups.
Wow. Okay, so those 6 points, manipulating sounds, similar sounds, rhyming, syllables blending, and word mix-ups. That's a really concrete list from the guide.
It is. Very practical.
And tying this back for you, the listener, Understanding these specific signs from Miss Uchoa's guide, it gives you something tangible, right? Mm. Real things to listen for. It provides concrete ways to observe a child and spot where potential challenges might lie in their sound awareness.
Mm.
And knowing specifically where the difficulty is, like the guide helps you pinpoint, well, that tells you where you might need to focus support. This kind of knowledge is just so key, isn't it, for helping a child build that strong reading foundation the source keeps emphasizing.
It really is. And thinking about that foundation, if the guide makes it so clear that phonemic awareness, that ability to work with individual sounds, is the absolute bedrock for phonics, and we know phonics is crucial for reading, here's something to think about, based just on Nestroy's guide.
Okay.
If you were to spot just one of these 6 difficulties in a child, say, for instance, the chunk it up challenge with syllables, what might be the very first practical step you'd take to help them, drawing only from the kinds of insights presented in this guide?